Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good morning, Jason Lloyd.
I gotta hit the button. Good morning.
What's going on this morning downtown? There's no parking downtown, or like Playhouse Square anyway. Like everything's, I'm like, well, just because I know the Blue Jays do bring people down from Canada, but I'm like, you're shutting down the streets for it? All the garages are like 40
are you
bucks.
Saying there's signs up? The garage was 40 bucks.
Yeah.
I fortunately did not have to pay that, but.
Well, I mean, you have a way of getting around that.
I just parked on Wachmahickey over there. Prospect, right? That's Prospect.
Yeah. The main drag.
Yeah, the main drag.
Looks like you're going to be parking down at Steel Yard when they tow your car.
No, there's no tow signs over there.
There's none?
Not that I saw.
You're just going to take the ticket then?
We'll chance it.
Oh, I don't know if you should do that.
It says no restrictions.
Okay, we'll find out if there are.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's 7 o'clock, I'll go move.
Park like down the street. Well, okay, 7 o'clock, I'll be doing the segment by myself.
Yep, what do we got at 7?
Like down the street and around the corner, and I'm walking around going, what is this? But then I saw some stages. I go, are they doing that thing like they used to do?
I think it's Jazz Fest is coming up or something.
It's Jazz Fest?
Because I saw the other day people getting ready over there under the chandelier. I think that's this week.
Oh,
man. I don't have it queued up. I didn't even think about it.
I hope we got Jazz Fest.
Man,
if AA was here. Dizzy Gillespie, it's a lot. Oh, you should have heard him the one day. We had AA host one day in the afternoon. Or was it afternoon on the weekend?
No, it was the night show.
Okay, saying like what's coming up. He did a segment like what's coming up, and he was talking about Jazz Fest, and he brought up like Dizzy Gillespie, and then like he went nowhere else with it. It was as you've ever heard.
John Coltrane, he goes, Coltrane.
Coltrane.
We had a class at Kent that all of the jocks took in the summertime called Jazz with Chaz.
Really?
It was an easy A for everybody. And I had a horrendous GPA at the time, so
nice.
I needed it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was me and all the Kent State basketball players taking Jazz with Chaz. The summer of 98?
6:05 in the morning. Sultry, 72 degrees outside. It's Coltrane putting on that ass on a Thursday. Talk to me, baby. 216-474-0092. Jason's got his tongue in the ear. If you talk to me nice enough, I'll put my tongue in your mouth.
Oh.
It is this week.
I just looked it up.
Hell yeah, Jazz Fest. All right, yeah, you know what? I'll mind finding a parking garage for that. Hell yeah, brother. Good. I hope you guys all have a good time down there at Jazz Fest.
It says Trombone Shorty's going to be there, and that guy's amazing.
Is Too Many Zoos going to be there?
I don't know.
I would love to see
zoos.
Next year bring in Too Many Zoos. That thing is, did you ever see them?
No.
It's these three guys, they go on like the subway at like 2 in the morning,
with
they
kazoos?
Shoot music videos. Yeah. No, Too Many Zoos.
Oh.
And the one plays the drums, and the one plays, what is it, the big... Help,
like
guys,
the bass,
I'm sorry.
Saxophone,
yeah, it's like a big
something.
Bass saxophone, and the other guy plays trumpet. The other guy plays trumpet, and they're really fun to watch. It's really cool.
Never heard of them.
I follow them on Instagram or something like that. They're really a lot of fun. I would definitely go see those guys. All right, enjoy the Jazz Fest. I got upset about something last night. Certainly wasn't the walk-off win. And maybe, you know what? Maybe I just got triggered by something, because I'm watching Jose Ramirez this year, and a lot of people have been saying for a long time this year, you know, he's pressing. He's pressing. You know, Jose's up there. He's swinging at everything. He's pressing. I'm going, well, he's still a tremendous hitter. He's still a bona fide all-star. If that's pressing, I mean, good God, I can't imagine what he'd be doing if he was relaxed up there at the plate. And I see him go up there, and they do a bunt, because, I mean, they're looking for any way to get themselves a win. I mean, they will steal someone's dog to get themselves a win right now. They do not care. And so there's the bunt. Then Jose's able to bring him home with the go-ahead, with the walk-off single. And I'm watching him, and I'm going, my God, is there anybody who means more to Cleveland? In the world of sports, and sports is a big damn deal here, is there anybody in the world of sports right now who means more to Cleveland than Jose Ramirez? Like, he is the king of the city. I said it's almost indescribable. And because, and let me explain this. The amount of pressure on him compared to the other two teams in town and their leader, it's astronomical. It's astronomical. Think about all this. Is that if the Cavs and the Browns didn't have a salary cap, they'd spend in oblivion. Boy, we've had this conversation with the Guardians many times, Jason. Okay. The other games, it's get the ball to Donovan. Clear the way.
Yeah.
Even when LeBron was here, get the ball to LeBron, clear the way, or as we always talked about, he's going to find the best play for the possession, and maybe he's going to pass out to somebody. He controls everything on the floor. Really, at times we saw LeBron control 9 other guys. With Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you control the entire offense, and at times, because your offense is so good, you control defenses. With the Browns, it's Myles Garrett. Well, we always know Myles can only do so much. With Jose, there's real expectations with that team, and he can only get so many opportunities. He's at third base. You got to hit the ball to him. He can only come up 4 or 5 times a game. And so what he does in being able to keep them at 40 and 38, my God, it just cannot be, it can't be overstated of what he means to the Guardians and what he means to professional sports in this city. I know that's a crazy thing to say. It's a very emotional thing to say on June 26th.
Yeah.
But man alive, what he means, Lord.
I don't know if I agree with the pressure part of it, but the what he means and where he ranks in fan favorite.
Why don't you agree?
Because he is pretty, he lives in anonymity. That's part of the reason he loved coming. He wanted to stay here.
I don't think he lives in anonymity here. I think he walks on water here.
Well, he does in part because where I was going with it, because of how much less he took.
Yeah.
Like that contract that he signed at the time was so wildly undervalued compared to what he could have gotten. So if you look at the three of them, I mean, Donovan, Donovan hadn't done anything wrong. Like he re-signed, I think that really sort of sealed his fate here when he signed his second contract, when he signed to extend here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fine. Obviously, people are upset with the second round exits. Miles, you know, I think Miles cost himself a little bit on the PR front with the way that this last offseason played out and all the things that he said, which, by the way, he was only telling the truth. There ain't nothing he said that wasn't true. But then taking the contract that he did, obviously, he's not taking a discount. So if you're looking at people who truly, truly want to be here, the deal that Jose signed puts pen to paper on how much he likes it here and how much he wants to be here. So that part I agree with. And Donovan also, you know, taking the contract and re-signing here. But I don't know that I agree with he's got more pressure on him than everybody else. I think Donovan is feeling an enormous weight of pressure.
That's interesting. I guess it would be like who's under more pressure then, because I think that Guardians fans, I think there's a tremendous amount of frustration within the fan. It's the same fan base, but I think Guardians fans right now are feeling a tremendous amount of frustration that you're 40 and 38. I mean, I talk to you all the time, and I've been saying for a while, it's like my goals have changed in so many ways where it's like, let me find the starting rotation. Let me find these four young guys who are 26 and younger. And I got a lot of people going, man, you're shooting way too low. You give this team so many passes over here. They just went to an ALCS. And I think about how do they get back to that ALCS right now? How do they get back to the postseason? And it's like, all right, you got Stephen Kwan who can set the table most of the time. And then there's nobody else that you can really count on other than him. So he's the only guy that you can really count on and to keep their head above water.
You could probably
until everybody else figures it out. I don't think that Donovan is frustrated, but I don't think a lot of people blame Donovan. I don't think they blame either of them for these situations, but I think Donovan is frustrated, but I don't think that he has to deal with carrying everything for a franchise and having fewer opportunities to do so like Jose Ramirez does.
Jose knew what he was signing up for.
Donovan knew what he was signing up for.
But that's why I didn't understand a few weeks ago this trade Jose to give him a better chance to win or whatever was being
talked
about.
It's internet fodder.
That was insane to me.
It's internet fodder by frustrated fans, but it's internet fodder.
Jose knew where he was doing when he signed the contract.
Of course.
He likes being in the anonymity that he is. Like everyone still calls him like the unknown superstar in baseball, across baseball. And the people within baseball say all the time how incredible he is and how terrific he is. But is he talked about in the same vein as Aaron Judge? No.
No.
But he's an MVP candidate every single year.
Well, I mean, you're thinking big picture. I'm thinking to the city of Cleveland hasn't, you know, the team hasn't won a championship in 77
sure.
years.
Yeah.
And as of right now, the things that they haven't put around them, I think it's going to be 78 and maybe 79. But I think there is some light for hope.
Here's the difference, I think, between Jose and Donovan. If Jose was, if his end-all, be-all obsession was winning a championship, would he have signed that contract?
Jose?
Yeah.
No.
No. Donovan's end-all, be-all obsession right now is winning a championship, period. He is consumed by it. And that isn't necessarily a Cleveland thing. That's a personal thing to Donovan. And I think Donovan believes Cleveland gave him the best opportunity to do that. And he does love it here. I'm not saying he doesn't. He does truly enjoy being here. He'll probably wind up back in the Muni lot again for a tailgate this fall. He had a great time when he was there last year. And I asked him, will you do that again? He said, yeah, probably.
Like, is he going to do the bowling thing with the kegs again with the Browns bunch?
Who knows what he'll do?
Okay.
But yeah, I think you'll probably see him pop up again in the Muni if the schedule aligns and if he's
in
town. Before they get rolling, if there's a home game.
I don't doubt he likes his time here. I think he does enjoy the city.
But Donovan, I think, is driven to win at a level that few other athletes are at right now. Hmm. And I don't know that, and I'm not saying Jose doesn't want to win. I don't think he is consumed by it the way that Donovan is, or he would not have re-signed here.
There was another thing that I got last night from one listener, and he mentioned how, because I said how Jose's, you know, just, you can't say enough great things about him, and I got he's a really great regular season player.
Yeah.
And I said, man, of all the things that I've said on the air, one of the things that I've said a lot of things on the air and come back and like, I regret that one, but of all the crazy things I've said on the air, the conversation we had, I think it was last year or the year before, about his postseason and like the Hall of Fame stuff and things like that, and why immense amount of pressure. I think that, again, when I look at the pressure of them getting to the postseason, you're consistently playing with pups who don't really, like, Donovan's playing with guys that need to raise themselves to his level. It's just that simple. Like, yes. The Evan Mobley thing, we're going to get more into that in 6:45, because I think I agree with you, and I kind of want to just clear the court and let you go down the lane on one certain thing. I hope that you're willing to back it up, because you were tough talking Jason Lloyd at 6:57,
yes,
or 5:57. So I want to see that. But when it comes to like him in the postseason, and it's like, all right, he popped it up again, and it's like, well, he's in this moment where, again, he's the only guy that you can count on, because the other guys during the regular season, you can get hot, you have time. There's this little amount of time in the postseason. And if you have a bad week, I think for more inexperienced guys, more inexperienced players, there's a higher chance for you to wilt. So when you have these young guys who are perpetually around you, like, how many years has it been since Francisco Lindor's been here? Four now? Three, four? Okay, so you've made the postseason a couple times.
Actually, longer than that.
Many of these guys could you really count on last year until you got to Jose Ramirez? So by the time you get to Jose Ramirez in the lineup and it's 1-0 and we got two on and two out, and now comes Jose, like, all your hopes and dreams are in that. And when you put him, and you had to make it because you were playing him, a dollars to dollars lineup here, where it's Stephen Kwan, then it was Andrés Giménez or Ahmed Rosario a couple years ago, Jose, and then you go to the Yankees where it's Giancarlo Stanton, Soto, Judge, like right down the line, 1 through 6, and you're going, huh? You don't get a break.
Yeah.
And this is the ALCS, and there's nothing else you can do. And as much as you could say, like, hey, you got to go to your piggy bank, you can't compete with that. You can't compete with it. Even the Yankees didn't even want to compete with $765 million at the end of that season last year for Juan Soto. Like, so if you want to win, like, I think that, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, I think, is as obsessed with winning a championship as anybody in professional sports. But if you want to win, there's only so much you can do for Jose. And I think at times it's got to be, like, very frustrating for him privately. But he's the unequivocal leader of that organization. Unchallenged to me.
He'll have almost, if not every major record by the time he retires. There'll be a statue of him next to the...
Well, there better be.
Next to the other one, and he'll be a legend here forever.
One guy can show just how far one sport has fallen. That might be coming up in about last night. I know what will definitely be coming up in about last night. When trying to manipulate the draft goes wrong. It went wrong for one young man last night. That was rough business.
Dropping an F-bomb when you...
Oh, that was the other one.
Oh, that's right. Drafted that was to Toronto. That was Toronto. You're right.
That's the one I got drafted to Toronto. Yeah, you're right. Which you're right. Okay. So he gets up. What was the kid's name again? Damn it, you beat me. Now you got me searching it up because I'm trying to think because the one kid was called Colin Cowherd. Real quick, before we get to the whole thing here with the stadium stuff. So the one kid was called Colin Cowherd on TV. And then you had another kid. Well, you
had the 11th pick in the 2025 NBA draft. The Portland Trailblazers select Cedric Coward from Washington State University.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Cowherd here.
Yeah, close enough.
Mitch covers the NBA. This is the thing.
It's ESPN.
You've never said the name wrong before.
Oh, I've said it wrong. The night they drafted Dion Waiters, I had to write down in big magic marker Dion Waiters because I kept wanting to call him DeJuan Wagner. And I was watching. I mean, he went to Q's. Of course, yeah. I'm watching Dion Waiters in college at that time. And for whatever reason, I just kept wanting to call him DeJuan Wagner. So, like, I understand it. But, like, people are, like, ripping. It's Malika Andrews who said it, right? Like, people are ripping on her. It's like, dude, you do NBA every day. So, it's like, when we look at, like, Charles Barkley dropping in on college basketball, it's not the same thing. But, hell, it's close. You're obsessed with the NBA 11 months out of the year, and then they drop you in on draft coverage. It's like, well, you're supposed to know who these guys are when you're watching every NBA game every night?
No, it's not. I mean, there's probably people talking in her ear. It's chaos on the set.
Yes.
Plus, she's a dear friend of mine, so back off.
Oh, I wasn't,
she's Dave's wife.
Hold on. I wasn't ripping her. I was actually
saying you back.
Okay. Lord almighty. You basketball writers. I swear
Colin
to God. Colin Murray Bowles
is
his name.
Yeah, he's the one that dropped the F-bomb on
and
Toronto.
How's he related to you?
So he gets up. He buttons his coat. He buttons his jacket. And he turns. And he like kind of drops his head slightly. And he drops the F-bomb. And I thought for a moment, okay, it doesn't look good. Toronto's a nice town. Lots of people in July. Okay, it gets cold in a lot of places. My God,
they play the games indoors, right?
I'm sure it's very pretty. I'm sure it's not as pretty as Montreal or Quebec City, but it's still very pretty.
Toronto's a great city. And February is miserable there.
You play the games indoors. January is miserable anywhere. So I feel bad for you, young man. But either way, I was wondering if he just kind of said it like, "Bleep! I can't believe I'm actually drafted." Like, was there a moment there? Like, you've never just, like, had a great moment in your life and you've been surprised and just went bleep? I know I've done it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that his facial reaction matches what you're saying. You
fair enough.
Tell his face that.
Well, they have a good time up in Canada. They got great television. Colin, young man, you're going to enjoy yourself.
Chris Bosh acted like he had been sent to Siberia when he was in Toronto.
Yeah, he couldn't get out of there fast enough. That's a good point.
And it's
the fourth biggest country city in North America, in the continent.
It's such a eclectic mix of culture. Yes. It's a great city.
Yes.
But it is a different country. And for these kids, like, you know, you're 18, 19 years old and you're moving to a different country. That's so a little scary.
Okay. I'll say this real quick. I mean, we got to get to the stadium thing. I mean, we have 4 years to get to the stadium thing, but we got to get to the stadium thing, as I told everybody, and I want to get your reaction to it. When I was doing play-by-play for Ashland, see, this is where you're right. So I was like 22.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But to that, 22, 23 years old in that category. But I was like the play-by-play guy, and you only have like two other assistant coaches. So it's like you're one of the people that are in charge. Like I had to round up the kids and get them on the bus and be like, hey, We're leaving to go to the gym for shoot around at 5:15. Have your ass on the bus. We ain't coming. Like, I had to say that to some guys.
That's funny.
And we're on the bus. We're at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, at Lake Superior State.
Oh, wow.
And it's over the Mackinac Bridge, which I think Keith's up there. Congratulations on all his success in Mackinac Island, where they don't have cars. It's over the Mackinac Bridge in the UP Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, you're way up there.
And there's Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. We get done with shoot around, which they had a very nice arena. The basketball gym wasn't that great, but the hockey arena was really nice. They love hockey up there. And as we're leaving, there's a gate, a toll to get into Canada. And this coach, Craig Collins, great guy, goes, "Guys, there's Canada. Look over there." And they all, I mean, this is the disposable camera era. It's click, 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 click. I mean, it was like they found Atlantis.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I'm laughing my ass off. I go, "It's Canada.
Yeah.
We're basically in Canada."
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah. But it was, so okay, to some degree, maybe. Hopefully it goes well for you, young man. That's all I'm going to say. But getting up and dropping an F-bomb when you got drafted probably wasn't the best.
It's a rough way to get started.
So you excited or are you upset about the new dome?
Am I allowed to answer now?
Yeah. Well, it was a tease for the show, man. You can't just keep giving it away here.
No, I've been on Team Dome since it started. Yes.
Why?
Because I think it's – I mean, selfishly, I want to cover games indoors.
The worst reasoning ever.
Do you want me to be honest or not?
I wanted you to be honest.
No, I do think it's good for the region. I do think it's good. I do think it could be an economic boon. I do think Cleveland will get a Super Bowl. And you talk about teams yelling the F-bomb when they find out they're going to Cleveland for the Super Bowl in February. You probably get a little bit of that. But so what? It'd be great for the area. And I think it's a good thing. Like, I never liked that stadium. It was rushed. There was a lot that was wrong with it, just from a construction standpoint, because of how fast it had to go up. I thought it was a terrible location. It never made sense to me. So, and the fact that they're paying for like 75% of it, I think they should pay it all. Like, I've been on record for that. I think they should pay for the whole thing themselves. But if not, this is a pretty doggone good compromise. This gets pretty close to them paying the whole thing and then using the taxes to pay back the bonds on the $600 million they're getting from the state. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
So I had waffled back and forth at the very beginning when this all first got started. And we started talking about this. Man, you got to be honest. We started talking about this in like 2017, 2018. The possibilities. Because, you know, Lyman knows everybody. And he knew that there were rumblings downtown. Oh, we're going to start talking about a new stadium here sooner than later. And so we would mention it here and there. And the possibilities of a domed stadium and what it was. And at first, I was like, man, I like outdoors. I like the way it is. And then I just kind of looked around the league. Now, what I hate about the league is that as much as history changes, it stays the same. And you went through the 60s and 70s where there was the cookie-cutter circular ballpark that housed two teams in two different sports, or maybe three teams in two sports, depending on what city you're at. And it was an eyesore in so many ways. And now all these renderings I'm seeing are just a whole bunch of Allegiant Stadiums in Las Vegas. Ours is different, but I was hoping it wasn't going to be those types of stadiums. The other thing is I had to come to grips with ticket prices are always going to go up. They're not going to go down.
Yes.
Season ticket prices, which I think that there is a difference in the person who wants season tickets now than there was 20 years ago, and I want that to be a conversation at some point, because I know Lima's, I'm kind of saving it for Tone, because I know he's very interested in tickets and season tickets. I know that ticket prices are going to go up. So it becomes, A, every time a bunch of Browns fans go to Indianapolis, they always come back and go, this is the life. When we had to play that game up in Detroit, you had a bunch of Browns fans going, I can take my jacket off in here. This is the life. And I'm going, you're only going to pay more. You might as well be comfortable for it. Now, I'm not going to sit there. I've seen way too many studies that say it's not an economic boom to sit here and say it's an economic boom. I hope you're right.
If they bring a Super Bowl, it is.
I hope you, but is it going to be an economic boom in the long term? Is it going to be something that reaps its rewards over a long term? Does a Super Bowl make that big of a difference? I'm not sure. Over 30 years? I'm not sure. Speaking of the 30 years, the other thing I didn't want to do is put Band-Aids on the current stadium,
yes,
and then in 10 years, go ahead and do this again.
Right.
Because one of the things that people were really upset with is that when Joe Banner was here, hey, we got to redo the stadium. You get all the things to redo the stadium. Stadium gets redone to a certain level. The stadium gets redone, looking nice. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, it's like, hey, we're going to need a new stadium. I don't want to do that again. So it's like, hey, you get a stadium, you get 30 years. I don't know where I'll be in 30 years. I'm sure, hopefully I'll still be here in the area.
In that chair?
I don't know about in the chair. I mean, we don't know what life is going to hold, but I love it here. And I'm pretty set on dying here, to be honest with you. But I just don't know. Hopefully it won't be 30 years from now. What?
It'll be 30 minutes.
Well, we'll see where it goes. I don't want to have to get into it over stadiums for another 30 years. Like, that's it and that's all. Because I think the original conversation over stadiums are exciting, and then it becomes very tedious and very emotional, and then it becomes very politically drawn. And I think a lot of our fans, a lot of our listeners, you know what? I know someone's got to go out there and fight the fight, but they're tired of seeing guys in suits. They're tired of seeing guys on either side in suits, grandstanding for things that they've never grandstanded before, and I think they're going, we either do this or we don't. Now they're going to do it, and off we go.
I haven't seen Vegas. I skipped the trip this year, so I did not go to
Vegas.
You'll
get to go next year or this coming season.
Yeah, we'll see. But
you don't want to go to Vegas, a guy like you?
I've been to SoFi, I've been to Atlanta, and I've been to Minnesota. They are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. Yeah. And that's a different class than what you're talking about with Indy and Detroit. Indy and Detroit are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But they are not in that stratosphere.
If I'm going to pay, and I think there's two other things. If I'm going to pay, which is always going to be an exorbitant sum, ticket prices are always going to be eye-popping.
Oh, but no matter this where is you're different.
At, I understand that. But if you're going to pay, you might as well be comfortable, and you might as well get all the creature comforts that comes with being indoors. The other thing is, and it is very stark to me, and I think that this is what annoys some Cleveland fans. Like, we had Peter King on a couple of years ago, and out of nowhere, and Owen, you remember this, out of nowhere, he just went on this like mini 30-second diatribe where he like put down the professional curtain for a second, and because it was like right when we were really starting to get into the nitty-gritty before he retired, we were getting into the nitty-gritty of the stadium, and he's going, you know what? I talk to people all over the league, and you guys have no idea how good you have it over there. I mean, you guys sit there and get upset over an extra dime being spent here and there. This is the cost of doing business. And then we were like, whoa, and he immediately put the curtain back up. And he went, I'm going, what was he just saying to us there for a second?
What was he referencing?
I don't know, but he was like kind of going after us because I think the stadium got brought up, and he just kind of, for like 30 seconds, and then he went back to being the great benevolent Peter King, where it was like, he's like, you guys just bitch and moan over every single price you ever see. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, the whole time, you grow up in a society where we're always told all the time that we don't have a lot of money to spend around these parts. It kind of seeps into the how we are.
Yeah. Well, and that part, that component of it does concern me because I don't think people realize what type of sticker shock is coming. You can say prices are going up. No, they're not going up. They are exploding. To get into this place, it's going to be a different world. And I am afraid about pricing out the longtime fans. And there's another conversation to be had, and I don't know how the stadium plays into it necessarily, but I've said before, I feel like the Browns have lost a generation of fans. And the diehard generations of your generation and my generation and older than us, I don't think is there in the young 20s. So what happens when they have disposable income in 15 years and ticket prices are exorbitant?
I'm going to clear the lane for Jason here, I think. Because I think I agree with you. But you seem... I'm going to give you the chance to really get going here. What?
I don't know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
I told you what I was going to... You got to fall... You know what?
I have
one of
ADD.
These damn days when you fill in, I'm just going to go, here you go. Here you go. I'm going to let you bring us in and out, and I'm just going to fill in on what you say.
I'm reading things.
You're reading what?
I'm preparing for the show.
Are you preparing for this show?
Yes.
Well, the show's been going on for 46 minutes
and
now. Your preparation should be done.
And there's new segments coming.
Then if you were preparing, you would have known what segment we're about to do now, don't you?
I have ADD.
Daryl Ryder going to join us. See, this is where we go into a circle. Daryl Ryder joins us at 7:22 this morning. How long until that new stadium is going to be built? And whether or not we are overrating or underrating a certain person with the Cleveland Browns. Hold off on that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jason, I want to play some audio here where I think I get what they're saying.
Oh, I know where you're going. Uh-huh. Okay.
I think I get what they're saying.
The ADD did up.
I think these guys are looking for someone they trust, and I think that's why they feel they're stuck. Here is Nick and Jonathan, where they say they're surprised how the Cavs narrative has shifted so heavily to go towards Donovan Mitchell. Yes, Donovan Mitchell. Donovan, we are busking for the audio about Donovan Mitchell.
I just think it's really interesting that we've gone from, is Donovan and the rest of the team's timeline, meaning like it's Donovan and then the rest of the team, and now it's Donovan and the rest of the team from, none of those guys are ready, let's build around Donovan. I think that's an interesting change that has happened subtly over the last 3 years.
Well, I mean, I do think a lot of people that were around this Cavs team day in, day out, I think they just left this postseason being very impressed with the not only the determination, but really what seemed like that championship level mentality that Chris is offering up, despite the fact that Donovan's never made it out of the second round of the postseason. You could tell people left very impressed with the fortitude and the grit that he showed.
All right, Jason, what's your thoughts?
Who are these people saying that the Cavs need to build around Donovan? Who are they? Where's this narrative?
Maybe they're listeners, they're callers.
That is just not accurate.
Remember, like, Jason, we spend a lot more time with the average person than you do.
The president of basketball operations said after the season ended, we are going to go as a franchise as Evan is going to go. This is not about Donovan. You know how far a Donovan Mitchell-led team will take you. The second round. We have 8 years and two franchises of proof. This is about Evan. This is about Evan's growth and the development will determine how far this team goes.
This is
not about building around Donovan.
For the record, before this all gets mixed up and confusing here, I want to show everybody for the record, I actually agree with Jason on that wholeheartedly. I remember when Kobe Altman had said that, and I agree with you tremendously about Evan Mobley. But I think the reason they say that is it's been a long time since we've heard Kobe Altman. I mean, I know it hasn't been that long, but it's been long enough where people kind of forget.
2 months feels like 20 years now.
Because you know why? Because we've been talking about trades for other guys.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about trading Darius Garland, your first thought, for a lot of fans, is who, when you trade Darius Garland, fits with Donovan? And I know that's not the right thing, but that's why I think that they're talking about this. Now, I didn't hear very much else of that. I was running around yesterday.
Yeah.
But let me go ahead and let me try to defend the boys for a moment here.
Right. I'm not going to kill them.
Well, I think you want to.
no, I'm not.
Let me defend the boys for a moment here. I think it comes down to trust. It's been 2 months since they bounced out of the finals. And injuries played into it. Plenty of excuses play into it. And since then, we've been talking about it. And I think a lot of folks have been wanting to say here and there that, yeah, man, Evan's got to be the guy. I think you and I on Monday said they're only going to go as far as Evan takes them here very, very shortly. So if you have finals aspirations, Evan's going to have to grow up and grow up in a hurry. I think he's a perfectly fine young man. Growing up, I mean physically, dominating in the post, knowing that he can be dominant, those sort of things that we talk about with Evan. I think it's a trust issue. I think everybody trusts Donovan Mitchell, and I think they trust nobody else. They don't trust Jared Allen. They don't trust Darius Garland. And they want to trust Evan Mobley, but they know that Evan Mobley is meek, and I think that they're afraid that they're going to be wrong about it. That's why I think that you're hearing all this Donovan Mitchell stuff. Jason, I agree with you,
yeah.
But it comes down to trust.
Then enjoy the second round, because that's where you're going.
I agree with you.
But so you got to break out of it. Like you have to, I get it. And frankly, I think the Cavs have to trust Evan Mobley more. I think Donovan and Darius have to trust Evan more. And Donovan took a step back in his role this year, in part because I believe he knew this. He knew that he had to take less oxygen so Evan could take more. But that has to continue. And the fact that they are two ball dominant guards, it is a fair question to say, well, how is Evan going to find more oxygen in the offense when you're playing with two ball dominant guards? And I'll go back to the old championship team when Ty Lue walked in and basically told Kyrie, Kevin eats first. You eat last. You're the last one to the bowl because you got the ball in your hands. Kevin goes first. LeBron can get his whenever he wants. And then you go. And I it may be time to have that conversation with Donovan and Darius to where they tell Darius, Evan eats first. You're the last one to the bowl. And that doesn't make you any less important to the team, but it just sets a hierarchy in terms of getting these guys into the flow of the game, getting Evan comfortable with the ball in his hands. I think Evan can initiate and create more than he's been given opportunities to. And really, you're not going to know until you give it a chance to let it happen. And we saw the growth in Evan last year. He took a massive leap in his game. He has to take another massive leap this year. I think he's capable of doing it. Time will tell.
I think he's capable of doing it. And I think that this injury, this toe injury at the beginning of the season could be a blessing in disguise. And the reason I say that is because without Darius out there, there's no clog, which is a nasty thing to say, but it's true. There's no Darius out there. There's no clog. That means the offense has to be going to Evan Mobley a lot to provide spacing, to provide any open shots for Donovan or Max Strus if he's still here or God knows who else, right? So I think that with Evan there and no Darius at the beginning of the season, say that Darius were to miss, I'm not in any hurry to bring him back, and I certainly don't think the Cavs are in any hurry to bring him back. So say he misses a month of the first season.
Fine.
You're by that time, you've gone through training camp, you've gone through the few preseason games and the first month of the season, you're building something here. So Darius is going to have to understand when he comes back, this is going to be more through Evan's eyes now. This offense is going to be run through him. So Darius is going to have to fit in. So naturally, I think you may have a better fit. The challenge is still going to be on Darius. But this is why I keep going back to when we talk about trading guys, I'm not hearing nearly enough about Jared Allen. I think you can get more quality and more realistic quality maybe for a guy like Jared Allen than you can for Darius Garland, because it still comes down to the same old thing. You can trade me 35-year-old journeymen that I'm not sure are going to be around by the time we get to April and May. You can do that, and you'll make my usual co-host pretty excited about that. Or you could try to trade him for a wing, except who am I going to trade him for a wing for when we're all talking about who wants to have a 6'2 guard? The Cavs fans don't even want a 6'2 guard that's been a two-time All-Star. So why is Sam Presti or anybody else going to want that guy?
Well, you can have a 6'2 guard if the guard next to him is 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". It's a little bit easier of a fit. The problem here is the fact that they're both undersized. That's the problem. The Jared thing is interesting to me because, I mean, I wrote it after the season. I don't know how you bring him back. It's 3 years in a row he's disappointed you in the postseason. The Knicks series, obviously everyone remembers that. Last year, the whole rib injury, and we wrote about it, and not taking the injection, and like, I don't even want to get back into that.
Yeah, it's ugly.
And then this, now he vanished at the end of the Pacers series. But if you move, you don't want to trade a guy just to trade a guy, because Jared is very valuable to this team and what he does, particularly on the defensive end. So you can't make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. But it is a little bit easier, I think, to make the money match, which is the world they're in, when he's making $20 million compared to the money that Darius is making.
Yes.
And on top of that, you can play with Evan and four guys around him and not really miss a lot. Where if you take Darius out of this, you just created now another hole that you have to go backfill.
My issue, I think we've spoken so much and spoken so passionately about, it's almost like what the president said the other day. You've spoken so much and so passionately for a long time that some fans don't know what the bleep they're doing. And do you understand that? Like, we've talked about Darius so much. I'm going, Darius has been a problem. His health, ball getting stuck, whatever it is, it's been an issue, yes. But I think the bigger issue is with Jared Allen. And if we get halfway through the year, if we get to the trade deadline in February, and Evan's kicking ass offensively, and I find my opportunity to help in along the margins, I don't think there's going to be blockbusters here for this team because they're so close to the apron. I think if you can find help across the margins, then I think that that's where you're really going to help out your basketball team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.